Greetings. Welcome to This Present Truth. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is the 25th of June, 2026, Thursday. Welcome to This Present Truth program, podcasts, thispresenttruth.com, two sections, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry site, and also the This Present Truth site. I'm going to continue. This is part two of Exposing Dr. Death. Thank you, Tulsi Gabbard. The previous program, I began laying a foundation, a heavy foundation, on a gentleman by the name of Fauci, Dr. Lai. And today I'm going to continue by explaining as clearly as I can who the generations of this individual, who he is, his generations. Did he just appear on the scene, or is this something more planned, diabolical, an individual placed in positions because of his occult standing, involved in secret societies? So, you can contact me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Support me. This is a ministry. And I'll leave it at that. So, thanks, Tulsi. Dr. Lai, part two. So, the real name, is his lineage, is from a family called Abbeys, or Abyss, A-B-Y-S. Some pronounce it or spell it A-B-Y-Y-S. Swiss family. They have a crest, a Swiss family crest, and in the crest it glorifies a crowned serpent eating a human child. And in the crest, it also has a two, you might say, a bar. The snake is standing upright with the head curving to your left and down with a child in the mouth. And halfway down the serpent's body, you have a bar. And on hanging on each side of the bar, the left and right, you have buckets, which is a depiction of profit. And they have profited from gold, uranium, many other resources, which were mined by the Abbey's offspring in Switzerland and Kyrgyzstan. And the source of this information was from the Klaus Schwab's lineage in Zurich University. The bloodline is tied in deeply, is, you might say, fused into Switzerland's history in war, banking control, exaltation of abuse of humanity's children. And the article is out of America, americansforinnovation.blogspot.com. I'm just going to be matter of fact about this as I read. They profit from children, bombs, weapons, poison, irradiation, pollution, vaccines, pedophilia, ritual sacrifice, hallucinogens, neurotoxins, cytotomimetics, which is eugenics, and bank profit. So Dr. Lai's family lineage glorifies, again, the consuming of human children, profiting from evil. I'll mention that this family, the Abyss family, A-B-Y-S-S, the alternate spelling, they are unique among surnames, and the name Abyss in the Bible means the regions of hell conceived as the dark abyss of Satan, the abyss. Fauci is related to Klaus Schwab. Their lineages go back and intertwine as you go back to the Habsburgs. So to think that this individual just happened to be at the right place at the right time is would really be untrue. These lineages from generation to generation, I'm just talking about Anthony, this individual, but you can go back to the Rothschilds, go back to Habsburgs, to the lineages, the royals of Europe. They date way back. I worked in Las Vegas at a in the Bellagio. I used to maintain the furniture and in the Hyde restaurant, which is adjacent to the west of the pool, where they have the cannons spraying water in the evenings to the tune of Frank Sinatra, to his music. I worked in the Hyde restaurant, and on the balcony, I took care of all the furniture. And they had these heaters. They were 6 foot, 7 foot tall, propane. I met a young man that would come and fill these propane tanks during the day, during the winter, during the cold season. We were talking one day, and he had a friend who was from Spain, good friends, going to the university in Las Vegas. This individual told me that his friend was from Spain, and he was at the university studying economics, business, because he was from wealth going back to the 1600s. And with the children are sent to school to learn how to manage money, power. And he said that until he graduated, he wouldn't really be part of the family business. The young boy from Spain wouldn't have access really other than what is needed for school and a car and clothing and, you know, expenses for entertainment, food. He really wouldn't have access to the great wealth coming from the 16th century to the present. This was in 2008. When I talked to this individual. These people, like Dr. Lai, they never ever leave positions of power or wealth. They are always positioned in society, very powerful in governments. Like I had read yesterday and mentioned that they go back to Swiss banking. the Swiss government. This individual's family was actually wrote the government, wrote documents so that the Swiss government would have a, what would they call it, a principles and laws for their government. So I just want to interject that. This family and all of these families are tied into what I've mentioned in many of the previous programs, two secret societies, sister chapters, one in the city of London, the other in New York City, the term that they use, that they're a part of, the group that they're a part of, the society called British Pilgrims. And basically, all the royals of Europe, in one way or another, and the very powerful people in the United States, France, Germany, Switzerland, not only Switzerland, in all of Europe, are in one way or another affiliated with these two in Europe, with the British Pilgrims out of the city of London. In the United States, the Pilgrim Society, New York City. And in America, presidents, everybody in the political world, many people in the political world, senators, congressmen, many of the heads of the departments of the U.S. government, Alan Dulles, the Dulles brothers, Eisenhower, I believe, Harry Truman, many of these presidents were, if not actual members of American Pilgrims, but they were aware of the Pilgrim Society, and in one way or another, they benefited from the decisions that were made through these two societies. When you look at an overview from, let's say, the perspective is that from above, you have the United States and England still very connected in world hegemony. The Pilgrims in America has actually, though tied in to the British sister, the chapter, we are the muscle. We are the financial base of this secret society and the bankers in Europe. Presently, with a conflict with our president, Donald Trump, to understand the to have a grasp of why is he so hated. It's not the American people. Yeah, it is, some. But it is actually secret societies. All of them. All the secret societies, basically, that are known, are at war with this individual and his cabinet. Because he has decided, no longer should this country be held hostage to these two societies. The society and all the players in this country are working together to remove him. They will be successful. They will be successful. On the other side of the ocean, you have the sister chapter. They are working desperately in Europe to remove him because he is interfering with their hegemony. The world hegemony that has been, or the structure of power since World War II, has been in the grasp, the hand of the clasp of the United States. With Pilgrims, Europe, but mainly again, We hold the, we're the brute force. And this noble president is trying to bring about a disconnect, to disengage, to uncouple the grip of this, these two chapters, the multi-headed Hydra of Europe, the multi-armed Shiva of the United States. He's trying to separate, bring about an end to the the tie, which has controlled these two countries, these the this country to some degree, and the European nations, especially Western Europe, for since World War II, even before that. And these two sister chapters have really controlled internationally everything that happens throughout the third world country and second world country. Their target is number one, Russia. Vladimir Putin is aware of this group. Xi Jinping also. Now, the individual that the program is about is tied in very heavily. Not tied in. He has been anchored into this system. And on one hand, he is glad to be part of and to be used to bring about a plan of world hegemony. And he's willing to do that. The consequences are fatal should he decide to go a different direction. He's been Jesuit groomed. He was a physician. And he controlled the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases starting in 1984. He worked with the National Institute of Health before that, 1968. And he was planted in the National Institute of Health to obey not just his abilities intellectually, but again, if they don't obey, the consequences are fatal. So while he was, at the head of the NIH, the world suffered many different diseases, HIV, AIDS, SARS, foot and mouth disease, mad cow disease, swine flu, anthrax, MERS, Ebola, and now VID-19. And without this individual's position, and it's not just position as far as where he's seated and where he is placed, but it's deeper than that. We live in a world that is deeply steeped. I hate to use that word repeatedly. Deeply has a deep bottom, an abyss of occult activity. Finally, the American people, to some degree, are waking up to the occult. The reason is because it's evident. Everywhere we look, the occult, there's something occultic. You go to the Super Bowl halftime program. You go to the Olympics with their ceremonies. The occult is in your face. So the everything is happening because of this deep abyss of occult activity. Now in the beginning of the century, he was, I don't like to mention his name. I don't want to give him the credit. And then again, possibly some of these programs may end up on YouTube. I don't know. But I don't want to, or other platforms. And I have to be wise. Wise as a serpent. These people are wise. Why aren't we as wise as they are? So he was, at the beginning of the century, he helped create the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. And then there was another program, the development of biodefense drugs, the vaccines that followed the 9/11 towers, the destruction of the towers, which is actually in the Bible. The World Trade bombings are in the Bible. Everything's in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 21. I did back about 2003. I did an article on Isaiah 21. Babylon has fallen. Something came down that day. Tower 1 fell. Tower 2 fell. Tower 1, I think, was named Nelson. Not Tower 2 was named David. That's for another day. So the biodefense drugs, everything having to do with drugs for diseases he was involved with. There was a biography of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which he wrote, and the plans back then on, we'd heard the term bio warfare, plagues, poisons, and this research and what would eventually develop goes way back to England, back at the turn of the previous century. There was a group called the Wellcome Trust and the Purbright Institute. And these institutes, their focus was on not genetics only, but on viruses, on what was happening sub-skin level in the body. And, today in the United States, there are so many millions of the elderly that are on drugs, these petroleum-based prescriptions. And amazing as it is, these prescriptions actually do prolong the life of people. Heart medications, kidney medications, liver, diabetes, it just goes on and on. These people, beginning back, I would think, with the Wellcome Trust, Purbright Institute during World War I, all of the different pharmaceutical new companies that emerged, really funded heavily out of this country by the Rockefeller family, and then eventually the British and the French going back before that into the earlier century, 18-something, already looking into, diseases and helping to, and not helping, and creating germ warfare, which eventually is diseases. Like I had read to you in the previous program, Revelation chapter 6, Christ, giving the vision to John the Apostle, having John record what would happen in our time, especially right today. In the last 20 years, yes. The last 50 years, correct. But more specifically, at the end, in the decade before Christ returns, the vicious plagues, diseases, these man-made cancers. Cancer is a creation. People are toxic through things. They do get naturally sick. They're unwell. But we have a plague of cancer. We have been bombarded, mankind, especially in the United States. We're a petri dish for sicknesses, for cancers, every kind of disease. We're the target. But they test on the third world nations. They test on these peoples of these nations for two reasons. Number one, to get rid of them. Number two, the testing is more successful if you have immune systems that are depleted. If these people are unwell due to starvation and disease and bad water, bad food, no nutrition, living conditions that are really, sometimes I guess you could say, the pig pens of America might be more sanitary than the conditions in the third world nations. Even the third world nations now moving their cultures into the first world countries. It's by design. But going back to this individual, all these individuals have been knighted. They're knights of the British Empire, most of them. And when people are knighted, there's a spiritual component. There's a spiritual principle. If you are blessed by the devil worshipers and the high priests of a coven, if you are knighted and blessed by them, you are actually cursed. You have been cursed. You have been put a spell, a curse has been put on you, and you're expected to remain loyal, to be part of the hive. And once you're part of the hive, you can never leave. You will be hunted down because you carry a spiritual scent to you. And with that spiritual scent, they can smell it. You cannot escape. They'll know where you are, who you're with, how to get to you. So as a minister and as an individual who studies the spiritual, the deep spiritual meanings of the Bible, when a person is knighted, that means their soul has been surrendered. So individuals like the Gates of Hell, many members of the British government, individuals throughout all of the governments of Europe, whether it be Italy, then you have, that's on the political world, that's at the level of the countries. Then you have the Vatican. You have the Vatican. You have the Anglican Church. Now listen, for the Catholic people, I was raised Catholic. My ancestors are Catholic. They went back, they were Catholic before the Catholic Church was even invented. And for the most part, they have been Democrats. They were Democrats going back to the time that Adam was created. And I'm joking, of course, but to give you an idea, you know, when you hear the name Rodriguez, you think, well, number one, he must be Hispanic. Number two, chances are he's Catholic. Well, you're right. You're two for two. But these individuals in the Catholic Church, I was reading an article, watching a YouTube, and there was an individual that studies in Rome at the Vatican. He is a devout Catholic. He's a brilliant man. He gives a story of Pope Francis meeting the Anglican priest, the head of the Anglican Church. The head of the Anglican Church, when Francis comes in to meet him, Francis bows to him. Catholic people, pay attention. He bows to him. Now, why would the Pope of Rome bow to the Anglican, the head of the Anglican Church? I'll tell you why. Because the head, the Anglican Church is the Church of Pilgrim Society. It is the superior church because of pilgrims. Pilgrims is the superior. They assume, they believe that they are superior. They are the superior chapter over the chapter of the U.S. But actually, that may not be true. Because those in the chapter, the society, the American society, is actually, in my view, in the occult, more powerful than the Anglican or the City of London chapter. They have controlled for years and centuries. But now you have a new occult lineage coming out of the United States. And you don't have to believe me, but you will eventually see. If you live, for you who are elderly, if you live another 5 years, you who are young, you most likely will live. You will see a shift of occult power from a European occult power to American occult power. You will see a shift in the occult power structure shift to the United States of America. The occult powers in Hinduism, Buddhism, all the other societies, satanic societies worldwide, won't compare to what's going to happen to this country and the American people presently. I'm trying to stay with this individual, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'll present it, because if I don't present it now, I'll never present it. My focus is on Dr. Lai. Thank you, Tulsi. But if I don't bring this in, then I will never most likely remember and never address it. So I'm doing it now. The shift of power is occurring presently. my view is, I view it by watching what is happening to this noble president, the greatest president in American history. There will never be a president ever in America that could ever match what this individual has done. There is not. There are many great presidents previously, in the last, starting with Carter to Obama. These men were not great. These men were powerful. These men were connected. These men were directed. They were, you know, there was somebody behind them. You can't say they were noble. They did what was they were told, including Reagan, Bush Jr. The one who is the one who has broken the leash off the neck is Donald Trump. Now, by watching this president, I can view, this is how I view it, maybe you can see it through my eyes. The greater the attacks on him, I see more and more occult activity, and the family in the occult world unifying. As divided as they are, and they are divided, don't be mistaken. Christ said that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. The kingdom of darkness in this country, in the United States of America, is extremely divided. The occult groups in the Republican Party and Democrat Party are extremely divided. Those that are in the occult in Congress and in the Senate and in the House of Representatives and in the Supreme Court, they're divided. The individuals that are in the occult that are the governors of the states of this union, they're divided. But Donald Trump, because of what he has been doing, these groups are forced to work together. As much as they may not like it, they're being forced, as much as they may hate it, as much as they may hate each other, they're being forced to work together for a single purpose: remove Donald Trump at all costs. Secondly, destroy the Constitution of this country. Destroy it completely. Bring in a new rule of law. Thirdly, any one that will attempt to interfere with their agenda, remove. Four, anyone that would try to expose their agenda is an enemy, must be removed. They will be able to carry this plan out, but I'm going to give you some hope. There's only one enemy that they are going to have the most difficult time with. This enemy, this centuries-old, thousands of years, millennia-old enemy, they have never been able to remove this major threat. It is the Christian people, the seven churches of God in Revelation chapter 1. In each of those seven lampstands, there are believers. They may not worship the same. They may not have the same liturgy. Their belief systems may not mesh. But in all seven lampstands, there are those whose adoration and commitment and loyalty is to God Himself and to His Savior Son because of His redemption for them. They have been redeemed and have been forgiven of all sin and crimes in their heart. This group, they hate Trump because Trump is part of that family. Donald Trump is part of the kingdom of heaven. He is just he's a civil servant. And as a civil servant, he is mastering his giftings. Mastered. as a Christian, he has people around him that I don't think are communicating to him what he has received through rebirth, through being born again. He may not even understand he's born again. People are just assuming that he would understand. I don't assume anything. If I were to sit down with him, I would ask him, Mr. President, at what point did you make a commitment to Christ? At what point in your heart? Where was it when something happened to you? Because you're the target of the kingdom of darkness, and it's evident. I see the forces of darkness from the political world, from the society, from those that have been he has appointed, from outs, that's within. That's the adversary within. Then there's the enemy without. He goes to the G7. He's surrounded by enemies. He's surrounded by individuals that are placed and that are basically told, this man must be removed. And many of these individuals, like Starmer out of England, is he a member of a secret society? I know the answer. You, listeners, you, I'm asking you, have the discernment. Look into their history. How about Macron, God not with us, Macron? Is this man a good civil servant to the people of France? Then you can go right down the line. Let's go to the German chancellors. They are tied into the two sister chapters, the two societies. They're not in power. Van der Leyen, this individual, in my view, she must be a high witch. The attack on this president is an indicator to me that the witchcraft in this country is rising. And all of a sudden you have the other secret society members on the attack openly in the media also. Hillary has never gotten over Trump took her 3 debates. Hillary, you can't beat this woman. She's too powerful. No one. I've mentioned this numerous times. How is anybody going to beat her in a debate? You can't. She's Illuminati. She's very high-ranking Illuminati, like I stated in the last program, higher than Bill. They're Rothschild. They're Rockefeller family. They're members of the Rockefeller family. That's their lineage. Trump is the only individual to 3 pitches from the mound, 3 strikes at the plate. She was out. She's never recovered. She sits on the ground, licking her wounds. She's still licking. The hatred is evident. It will never end. She will continue to her last breath. She will do everything possible to, firstly, destroy this president. Secondly, when he is removed illegally, before he will not make four years, he may make it through this next term. We may have some great victories at the midterm elections. But after that, you watch what's going to happen. And this woman, she will do everything possible after post-Trump to destroy this country. Then the predecessor, Barry Satoru, this individual raising his head once again. And I was going to say handsome. He's not handsome. He is just average, below average, extremely above average when it comes to deceiving people. He is the greatest deceiver, in my view, that I've ever seen or read about in the history of mankind. I've never seen anybody so subtle. He appears to be a garter snake. This individual is returning to the spotlight. Better watch him. Somebody has to replace Donald Trump. J.D. Vance realizes that he's never going to be president. Rubio, I think, is starting to understand there's no opportunity for him in the Republican Party presently. There isn't anyone that would be able to even match the abilities and capabilities of Donald Trump, this noble, honorable president. And I know people, they scream. You don't understand what I'm saying. You can scream, holler, you can disagree, that's fine. You do not understand the spiritual matters occurring in this country and the hatred of Jimmy Carter was supposed to be a Christian. He was not a Christian. He was a social gospel. Be nice to your neighbor, be kind, feed your neighbor, but it was never about your neighbor is a sinner, your neighbor is evil, he has hate in his heart, he has murder in his heart, he's a whoremonger, he wants his neighbor's wife, he's a thief. Carter never touched any of that stuff. He wasn't a Christian. Reagan wasn't a Christian. Bush Sr., don't believe this nonsense that these men were Christians. No, these men were globalists. All the way from Carter to Obama, globalists. Trump is different. Okay. When Trump leaves, when he is gone, the hurricane begins. The great destruction of this country begins. When he leaves, the great destruction of the world begins. The great wars. The world hasn't seen the conflict yet. Trump is fulfilling prophecy in Iran. Ezekiel 38 says there's going to be a war where Iran is destroyed with Russia, Turkey, other Islamic nations. Trump triggered that war. He was put in as president to ignite the fuse to that war. He is fulfilling Bible prophecy. None of the previous six presidents were allowed to do that. Only Donald Trump was allowed to ignite, to light the fuse, to pull up the handle that will send the spark down the wires to cause a great conflict next year. Donald Trump is the eye of a hurricane, and the winds now are starting to pick up, and in the eye of that hurricane, the clouds are beginning to come over. Even though it's midday, the skies are going to turn dark. Once he's removed, once the next administration is put in place, then all of the people who hated Trump, who despised him will begin to, their knees are going to knock. They're going to say, wait a minute. We were at war with an individual who truly was trying to help us, and we believed the lies of all of the liars in the occult world. You don't think in mainstream media that many of these people that lie to you day after day aren't in the occult, aren't part of covens? If you don't understand the occult world, then you'll just believe these people are, they went to elementary school, went to high school, graduated, went to college, got a degree, and they, through their hard work, they are now positioned as anchors on some of these networks. Absolutely not. Who do you think owns most of the networks? Good people or occult people? People in secret societies? Who are they going to put in position? You think they're going to put in people that have Christ inside of them? I guarantee you they will not do that, because they are at war with the Holy Spirit. They are at war with anyone who professes the name of Christ. They're at war with Donald Trump because they know the Holy Spirit is within him, and they cannot allow it. That is the big threat. Going back to Dr. Death. So, eventually, he is positioned where he needs to be positioned. And then, in 2001, the Carnegie Foundation, their choice for the eugenicists in the United States included Dr. Death, Dr. Lai, Ted Turner, Bill Gates of Hell, Annenberg, Soros. These were eugenicists. The Astor family, Ramphele, the Rockefellers, Walters family, Parsons. And then, really, the question is, well, okay then, who gives the marching orders to Dr. Lai? They come out of British Pilgrims. This is who directs him, out of Europe, but not necessarily Europe, out of New York City. And again, his family crest is a snake standing upright, head to the left, with a child going into the mouth of the snake, feet first. Midsection is a bar going across with two pails hanging, one on the left, one on the right, because they're collecting the wealth of the world. I'm just going to give you just a little tidbit on the employers of this individual who employed him. These people, they experimented with the Boers in South Africa between 1899 and 1902. These employers, they hit the African people with measles, typhoid, diphtheria. They're the ones who studied the wireless radiological effects on the human body after the British Admiralty and the Post Office and the Rothschilds, after they stole Nikola Tesla's patents for wireless. They were the ones who were instrumental in development of chemical warfare, which they used unsparingly in World War II, in World War I. They also were involved in the Spanish flu epidemic. This is who he works for. Then they began, in 1919, human experimentation prior to World War II. And then at the time of World War II, they began experimenting with nuclear irradiation. Then eventually they'd go on to use Agent Orange in Vietnam. I was with friends this week. All of my friends that basically had gone to Vietnam, a good friend passed away from Agent Orange. His spine disintegrated the bones in the spine. Another friend, good friend, known him since I was 16 years old. He was diagnosed about 2 years ago with Agent Orange that has affected him mentally. He's getting Alzheimer's. Another friend found out he has Agent Orange, and there's nothing they can do. He eventually died. It basically, again, ate the bone structure at the base of his spine, in pain all the time. I don't know very few. I know two people that were stationed in Germany that weren't affected by it. The friend that's getting the memory loss, he was Air Force. Well, he would unload. He was a mechanic. But the planes coming back had the defoliant. They were, you know, it was on the parts of the body of the aircraft. Well, it took longer for him, but still it's affecting him presently. Then you have in Rwanda, there was a mass murder before the CIA went in to take over that area because of the rare earth minerals in the Congo. Then in Kosovo, you had these attacks and the massacres that were blamed on the Orthodox Christians, so that the Muslim immigrants and the hordes would be allowed into the area. That's what these people do, and this is who employs the doctor. I even hate to call him a doctor. Then you go on to what's happened recently, nanoparticles as bioweapons. Then we have presently what happened with the C-19, which, again, is now changing the genetic structure of people. They are no longer one species. They are dual species because you have additional DNA in you or in them. Then you have also the GMO, the modification of organisms, not just plants, but animals. So, from the time that this individual was young, he was groomed, and eventually the societies knew who would be best to be placed in these positions in the NIH with this new objective. Well, I might do one more to continue with, thank you, Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know. But for now, I have to end. Podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com. Thispresenttruth.com. Two sections. Olive Tree site, This Present Truth site, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And again, the only safe harbor is the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can save you from eternal hardship.